big black bees. Mandita Kundala Asyaha, having a face decorated with earrings. Shankha, conch shell. Abja, lotus flower. Chakra, wheel. Shada, arrows. Chapa, bow. Gada, club. Asi, sword. Charma, shield. Vyagraihi, filled with. Hiranmaya, golden. Bracelets and bangles. Bhujaihi, with hands. Eva, as. Karnikaraha, flower tree. His complexion was blackish, his garment yellow like gold, and his helmet as dazzling as the sun. His hair was bluish, the color of black bees, and his face was decorated with earrings. His eight hands held a conch shell, wheel, club, lotus flower, arrow, bow, shield, and sword. And they were decorated with golden ornaments, such as bangles and bracelets. His whole body resembled a blossoming tree, beautifully decorated with various kinds of flowers. The face of Lord Vishnu, as described in this verse, appears like a lotus flower with bees humming over it. All of the ornaments on the body of Lord Vishnu resemble molten gold of the reddish gold color of the morning sunrise. The Lord appears just as the morning sun rises to protect the whole universal creation. His arms display different weapons, and his eight hands are compared to the eight petals of a lotus flower. All the weapons mentioned are for the protection of his devotees. Generally, in the four hands of Vishnu, there are a wheel, club, conch, and lotus flower. These four symbols are seen in the four hands of Vishnu in different arrangements. The club and the wheel are the Lord's symbols of punishment for the demons and miscreants, and the lotus flower and conch shell are used to bless the devotees. There are always two classes of men, the devotees and the demons. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sadhunam, the Lord is always ready for the protection of the devotees and annihilation of the demons. There are demons and devotees in this material world, but in the spiritual world there is no such distinction. In other words, Lord Vishnu is the proprietor of both the material and spiritual worlds. In the material world, almost everyone is of the demonic nature, but there are also devotees who appear to be in the material world, although always situated in the spiritual world. A devotee's position is always transcendental, and he's always protected by Lord Vishnu. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Shriyam Rupakadamaiham tathati shapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sarivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kopitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Syamo Hiranya Rashano Arka Kiriti Kirita Drishto Nilalaka Brahmara Mandita Kundalasya Shankabja Chakra Sharachapa Gadasi Charma Vyagrayar Hiranmaya Bhujayar Eva Karnikara The form of the personality of Godhead is substantial. Vastava. The varieties described here are compared to features of material beauty because that's within our experience, and transcendental existence is not. So we have to try to understand the transcendental features of the Lord by some comparison to something that we know. In the material world, the lotus is very beautiful, the sun is very bright, gold is always appreciated, and the black color of the bumblebee is very fascinating, actually, because it's not exactly black, but it's also not blue. There's no real word to describe exactly what the color of a bumblebee is, but it's quite a wonderful thing, actually, how nature creates such subtle colors. So the bees also appear very beautiful when they're set against the lotus flower. So these comparisons are just to give us some idea of the beauty of the personality of Godhead. But his form is beyond material conditions. At the same time, it's not abstract or rarefied. It's not something wispy or intangible. It's substantial. So, and specific. the Lord could have, in theory, any feature, but he has his own particular features. A person has particularity. So the Lord also has particularity. He has his garments. They could be green, they could be pink, they could be any color, but his color, preferred color, is golden yellow. And similarly, he could hold anything in his hands, but he prefers to hold Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, and in this form also, some extra hands with extra weapons, bow, arrow, shield, and sword. So that his whole body appeared very beautiful. The weapons, Prabhupada mentions, are meant for Patranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam, protecting the devotees, blessing the devotees, and vanquishing the demons. In the spiritual world, there are no demons and devotees. Everyone is a devotee. And in the material world, although it's largely a demonic world, there are some devotees also, but they're spiritually situated because they're situated in the energy of devotional service, bhakti shakti, which is spiritual. The energy of the Lord, of course the Lord has different energies, but his energy of devotional service is spiritual. And therefore, when the living being is situated in that energy, he's also in the spiritual position. Therefore, the activities of devotional service are spiritual. They're spiritual activities because they're performed within that spiritual energy. They may resemble the activities of this material world. And one may even think, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But in the advanced stage of devotional service, one's activities, one sees, are actually carried out by the spiritual nature, or under the, yes, in compliance with the spirit direction of the spiritual energy of Krishna. Therefore, these activities are not material, and even the senses of the devotees are not material because they're saturated with the devotional energy of the Lord, bhakti shakti. In the spiritual world, the senses are completely made of the spiritual energy, vishuddha sattva. But even in the material world, the senses of the devotee are considered spiritualized because they act under the direction of the internal energy of the Lord. Therefore it said, iha yasya harir dasye karmana manasa gira Nikalashvapyavasthasu Jivan Mukta Suchate. Even in this material world, a person who acts in the devotional service of the Lord, engaging his activities, his mind, and his words in Krishna's service, even though situated in the material world, is a liberated soul. The example given is that the coconut is found within the shell, but when it dries up, it separates from the shell. So if you shake the coconut, you'll hear the coconut pulp rattling around inside because it's become separated. In the same way, the devotee of the Lord, who's always engaged in Krishna's devotional service, is no longer connected with the material energy, even though he may apparently be found within this material world. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritam ashrita bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutarimavriya. The pure devotees of the Lord are always engaged in Krishna's service under the shelter of the spiritual energy. And those who are non-devotees are always conducted by the material energy of the Lord. Therefore, our business is to come from the material platform to the spiritual platform by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. The form which is described here appeared in that is the particular form of the yajna form of Vishnu, or the eight
yajna form? It's the form who appeared in this particular instance. I don't know that there's no indication here that for every yajna this is the form. It's just how he happened to appear this time. Something else?
Maharaj, the size of the living entity is described in the Upanishads. So when the soul gets liberated and goes to the spiritual world back, how the soul expands the size?
He can expand in the spiritual world. How do you expand in the material world? You're 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. How do you expand? You appear to be about 5 feet something, a meter and a half, and maybe 100, anyway, however many kilos. So how have you expanded so much when you're only 1/10,000th the tip of the hair?
Material elements expanding.
Yes, you've expanded in terms of the material elements. And those material elements are different from you. So there's a distinction between yourself and your body. The body with which you've expanded yourself is different from yourself. So in the spiritual world, the soul also expands, but it expands in terms of the spiritual energy, or the spiritual elements. And in the spiritual world, there is no difference between the body and the self. So the expanded soul is not in duality. He's in perfect oneness. Is that okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, like there are 24 kinds of Vishnus as per the combinations of Shankha, Chakra, Gada and Padma. So under which category do these 24 Vishnus fall into? Is it Shirodakshai Vishnu, Garbhadakshai or Kavadakshai?
No.
How is it?
Those Vishnus are the Vaikuntha Patis. They have their own Vaikuntha planets. And according to the arrangement of the Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, they have different names. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, Padma Shankara, and so on. So they have different names like Adhokshaja and Narayan and Padmanab and Damodar, and they rule the spiritual planets. They're different from the Purusha avatars, who are expanded forms of the Lord in the material world. Is that okay?
A devotee and a demon. We understand that the devotee has one mentality, the demon has another mentality. The devotee's mentality is to serve Krishna, and the demon's mentality is to try to enjoy in the material world. But yet we see a kind of mixture. Even though one supposed to be a devotee, still there's that mentality to enjoy in the material world. So how does one differentiate that one's actually a devotee or a demon?
Sometimes it's not so easy. You know, like there are different kinds of insects, and only the learned scientists can tell the difference between this kind of butterfly and that kind of butterfly. Sometimes it seems that there are demons who are practically devotees, and sometimes it appears that there are devotees who act almost like demons. It's especially difficult to tell when a devotee is on the third class platform, because then he's called Prakrita Bhakta. Prakrita Bhakta means that he's practically just above the material platform, not much above the material platform. Then he can come to the next stage, Madhyamadhikari, then highest stage, Uttamadhikari, Nindari Shunya Hrida Mipsita, Sangha Labdhya. Then his heart is devoid of the tendency to criticize others. He's devoid of kam, krodh, lobh, mada, moha, matsarya. Pure devotee. But in the third class stage especially, we see Matsarya, we see Sadarinda, we see all of these things. So it means that he's still to some extent affected by the same material association that affects the demons. So there may not be, it may sometimes be difficult to distinguish. But the determination has begun in the devotee that I want to serve Krishna. Of course, it's mixed also. I want to serve Krishna, but I want to serve Krishna so that I can enjoy. Or sometimes I want to serve Krishna and sometimes I want to enjoy. So it becomes a little difficult. But still, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so liberal that he said that anyone who's chanted Hare Krishna even once is considered among the devotees. He's considered among the devotees. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Krishneti yasya giritam manasa dvieta. Anyone who's chanting the holy name of the Lord should be respected at least within the mind. Therefore, when we see that someone is disrespecting such devotees, it means that person is still affected by demonic tendencies. But when the person is completely pure in heart, what is that? Tarma prochita koita vocha paramo nirmatsaranam satam. When a devotee is completely pure in heart, then he's actually a Bhagavata. Nindari shunya ridam ipsita sangalabhya. One should eagerly seek out the association of such a devotee and serve him. Is that okay? Something else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, as you said that any person who chants even once the name of Krishna is considered to be a devotee as per Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then we find that sometimes there are devotees who are new and then they commit.
There are devotees who what?
New to the movement.
New devotees.
And they commit certain faults. They have certain faults, and we can't expect so much of tolerance on their part and high standards. Then how much is the concession which can be levied to them? Because many times it is seen that devotees are accepted.
That's partly a spiritual question and partly an institutional question. Spiritually, you can be all merciful, all tolerant, all respectful, all compassionate to them, and all appreciative that this person is chanting the holy name of the Lord. He's not an ordinary person. And especially if one wants to spread Krishna consciousness in difficult places where people may not be very pious, then one has to be able to see that, to see the good feature in such a person, and see that spark and fan it so that it can grow and become like fire. Institutionally, how much can be tolerated is a separate question, because institutions have their own pragmatic considerations. Something like a hospital, they have what they call triage. In triage, what it involves is, especially when there's an emergency and there's, you know, a disaster of some sort and there's lots of patients all at once, more than the hospital can handle, then the hospital has to, the doctors have to distinguish who can be saved and who is practically a hopeless case and who's in the middle. So they save who they can. And the people who are next to them, they do what they can for them. And the people who are pretty far gone, basically they let them die. Putting the thing in cold-hearted terms, the doctors just let those people die. Because they have no choice. There's only so many doctors and there's so many patients. So the doctors have to make the difficult choice of saying, all right, these people we're going to save, these people we'll try to do something for, and these people are going to die. So that's what happens in practical circumstances in an institution like a hospital. And a spiritual institution may not have exactly the same circumstances, but it also has to make choices about who it can accommodate under what circumstances, at what expense, at what risk, how much one has to invest in a person to try to do something for him, how much one can expect from him. So such an institution may not be all accommodating. And Srila Prabhupada indicated that particularly in India, actually, he said, we can't be all accommodating, just in open the doors and whoever comes, just welcome them in. But we encourage everyone to chant Hare Krishna, to practice, to follow the regulative principles, chant Hare Krishna, read Srimad Bhagavatam, take prasadam, and we'll assist as far as possible. But we may not provide everything for their upkeep and welfare and so on. Is that okay? In short terms, Srila Prabhupada once put it that the temple cannot become a place for lazies and crazies. Cannot be a hotel for lazy men. Cannot be a place for lazies and crazies. You know, Prabhupada drew that rough guideline with the lazy men. Can be lazy elsewhere. And those who are sincere workers, they can be accommodated. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj here mentioned in text number 18 translation,
King Daksha offered the clarified butter with the Yajurveda mantra. In sanctified meditation, Lord Vishnu appeared as in his original form as Narayan. That means some difference between Vishnu and Narayan?
No. Let's see what the Nam Hebishaya Jamano Vishampate Dhya Vishuddhaya Dadyo Tata Anubhud Harihi. Harihi. Just the Sanskrit says Hari. So Hari means the Lord Vishnu Narayan. Vishnu is the generic category. Vishnu means generally Godhead. And usually when we say Narayan, we expect the four-handed or multi-handed form of the Lord. Otherwise, Krishna is also Vishnu, but he's the two-handed Vishnu. But Krishna is also Narayan, you can say that. So they're all in the category of Godhead. More or less interchangeable terms. Any other question?
We see that Daksha made an offense and then he was punished by Lord Shiva, came to some realization, and then we see that he offered the clarified butter in meditation and there appeared Narayan. So how is it that things can change so fastly, so quickly for someone? From one moment becoming an offender to the next moment see Narayan.
Well, he was punished like hell. Basically, he got the daylights beaten out of him, and then he had some realization. There are different ways to learn, Srila Prabhupada explains. Someone learns by hearing, someone learns by experience. So Daksha learned the hard way, by experience. He had his head cut off, he had his daughter perish, he had his yajna turned into chaos, he had all of his friends beaten. He had his head cut off. So many things. So then he had some realization. So that's not really the fast way. That's the slow way. To be so beaten by the consequences of one's offenses that one finally realizes that one's made a mistake. Just like that, who was it? That devotee, he offended Srivas Thakur, and then he got leprosy. Gopal Chapal. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't do anything for him. Oh, your Patita Pavana, please save me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, forget it. Nothing I can do for you. You've offended Srivas Thakur. So then he had to go to Srivas Thakur. I made a mistake. Please forgive me. So he learned the hard way. And there are many other examples of devotees who, for some, especially Vaishnava Parad, have been obliged to learn the hard way, or are on the path of, still on the path of learning the hard way. Therefore, but for those who are more cautious or more fortunate, the Shastric injunction is there. The Shastric direction is there. Don't offend Vaishnavas. It can ruin your spiritual life. It can ruin the life of your spiritual community, the life of your family. There are so many examples, again and again. Well, maybe somebody who'd like to do a project could total up the number of examples in Srimad Bhagavatam of people who commit offenses and suffer. Shobhari Muni is another one who offended Garuda. There's so many. Daksha is one here. Many, many examples of how the demigods, they offended their spiritual master. They
wound up in trouble. So many examples. So we're meant to learn from that. That Vaishnava Aparadha should be seriously avoided. There's some quotation about it that appears in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings. It's on my website at the moment. Those who are interested can take a look. Very short quotation. Basically it says that we should chant Hare Krishna and avoid Vaishnava Aparadhas, and then we'll be all right. And those who are committing Vaishnava Aparadhas, those who are committing especially Sadhu Ninda, we should avoid them. We shouldn't associate. What is that? A satsanga tyagi? A Vaishnavachar. We should avoid a satsanga. Those who are committing Sadhu Ninda are a satsanga. They're bad association. If someone is offending Vaishnavas, if someone is criticizing Vaishnavas, then we should avoid him because he's a satsanga. Publications that blaspheme Vaishnavas, we should avoid. Websites that blaspheme Vaishnavas, we should avoid. Organizations that are full of criticism of Vaishnavas, we should avoid. And individuals who blaspheme Vaishnavas, we should avoid. A satsanga tyagi a Vaishnavachar. Yes?
Just a comment on Bhima Prabhu's question. And as you gave the example that how Gopal Chappal got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya when Srivas Thakur forgiven him. Mm. Similarly, Daksha, he got the mercy of Lord Shiva, was a pure devotee of the Lord. So Lord Shiva practically forgiven him. That's why he saw Lord Vishnu right away and quickly things changed.
I know of some people, they have the philosophy that, well, we've committed offenses to such and such person, and at the end of his life, before he dies, we'll apologize. It's a very strange view. You know, we hope that somebody sends us a message, you know, just at the right time before the person dies, so that we can rush there and ask forgiveness. Unusual approach to Vaishnava Aparadhas. There's a question back here. Piche.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, those materialistic people who don't know about Vaishnavas, who don't respect Vaishnavas, who have nothing to do with Vaishnavas, if they do the Vaishnava aparadh, should they be getting the results, bad results?
Yeah. How strong it is, you can learn from one example, that of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was 5 years old, was offended by his stepmother. You can't, out of envy, you can't sit on the lap of the king, you're not my son. And Dhruva Maharaj later became a Vaishnava, and on account of the offense, she had to suffer the loss of her son and so many things. He wasn't even a Vaishnava when she offended. What to speak of not knowing that he was a Vaishnava? He wasn't a Vaishnava. He only became a Vaishnava. And because she offended a person who later became a Vaishnava, she suffered reactions. Now, how strong is that? And what to speak of offending people that we know are Vaishnavas? She had to suffer for insulting a person who later became a Vaishnava.
Sometimes it is seen that the result is not exact immediately. It takes
some results may not come immediately. Just like any disease, cholera or AIDS or any one of those diseases. You know, a person has illicit sex and everything's okay. It's only later that he finds out that he has AIDS and he's going to die. So Vaishnava Parads may not... We've seen sometimes a person may go on and on and on committing Vaishnava Parads and still be, you know, have so many opulences. But when the person crashes, it's very miserable. We shouldn't commit Vaishnava Parads.
Thank you.
Maharaj, offense which you have in mind, but you don't speak of it, does that hold as much?
That's called, it's offensive, but it's less. We learn from the incident of Bhrigu Muni, when he was testing the three Gunavatars to see who was actually the personality of Godhead. He offended Brahma from within his mind. He offended Shiva verbally, and he offended Lord Vishnu corporally by kicking him in the chest. So Srila Prabhupada explains that these are three degrees of offense: less, more, and most. In so comparatively, the result will be stronger. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that in other ages, one suffers the consequences even for offenses committed within the mind. But in Kali Yuga, one doesn't. But still, the problem is that if one is committing offenses within the mind is not that far away from the tongue. So it can very quickly go from mental offense to verbal offense. And from verbal offense, it can go on from there. So... therefore, we're advised to purify our minds. Okay. We're supposed to stop, right? Time is up. Do I take the last question? Yeah, okay.
Maharaj, you are committing every day many Vaishnava Parad. You are committing many offenses to the Vaishnava by mind, by words, by action. So how we can free from Vaishnava Aparad?
Well, the best way to be freed from Vaishnava Aparad is not to commit them. And the best way not to commit them is by remembering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. Trinadapi sunichena turodapi sahishnuna amanina manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Kaviraj Goswami advises us to keep this verse around our neck always, to be always humble and meek. That means inoffensive. Otherwise, if we offend, then we should try to make it up, to seek forgiveness from those that we offend. Otherwise, it will hinder us in our devotional service. Depending on the severity of the offense, depending on who we offend, offending an advanced Vaishnav is still worse. Offending any Vaishnav is bad, but offending an advanced Vaishnav is exceedingly bad. But whatever offenses we commit, we should try to correct that, to be excused of our offenses by the Vaishnavas that we've offended. And most of all, we should try not to be offensive. Or positively, we should try to appreciate Vaishnavas. It's very hard to just have negative views of Vaishnavas and not commit offenses. You know, this person is a jerk, but I'm not going to say anything because it's a Vaishnav aparad. That's a little difficult. It's better to appreciate the Vaishnavas. Every Vaishnava has good qualities. Every Vaishnava is engaged in the service of the Lord. Every Vaishnava is dear to the Lord. And we're trying to be servants of the Lord. So then we should be servants of the Vaishnavas. So it's better to appreciate. And that may save us from committing Vaishnava aparads. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.